And I hope that that's your prayer today as we come to spend time worshiping our Savior and coming to the Word of God. No matter where you may be in life and no matter what you may feel is standing between you and the Savior, that you are going to come to Him. Just as I am, I hope that that's your prayer today. Do you know that things are not always as they appear to be? Have you found that to be true ever in your life? Things are not always what they appear. Do you recall the hashtag The Dress firestorm from 2015? How many of you remember that? Wow, not many, just a few. So let me fill you in a little bit. In 2015, early in the year, this company produced a dress that they started advertising, and people, as they were seeing this dress online, were coming to two different conclusions about the colors of the dress. Several people said that the dress was blue and black, but there were waves of people that said, no, the dress is white and gold. Now, if you wanted to argue royal blue and navy blue and black or something like that, I can understand, but blue and black versus white and gold, you're talking about pretty different opinions about the color of this dress. But it caused such a firestorm, the media was all over this. It was international news. Hashtag the dress was trending. The company that produced the dress, after all of the media attention, their sales went up 340%. Some of you who are in business are like, I wish that would happen to me. I mean, this was just a massive news thing. Now, whether or not it was fake news, I can't say, okay? But it was all over the place. People were just attentive to this dress, trying to figure out what color it was, and it caused a lot of consternation and disagreement among people to the point that scientists got involved. I'm not kidding. Scientists got involved trying to explain why some people saw it as blue and black and some people saw it as white and gold. Just last night over supper, our family was discussing another similar type situation. This time it was an audible thing just from 2018 that was a huge sensation. Laurel or Yanny? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, a number of you do. You know, the truth is probably a lot of you know what happened back in 2015. You've just forgotten the dress thing. Laurel Yanny's a little more recent. It's an audible recording, and it's a man's voice saying a word. And the question is asked, what word do you hear, Laurel or Yanny? And people argued both ways. Now, I looked at it again this morning. I heard Laurel. I did. I heard Laurel. Now, I don't know what you heard when you listened to it, if you did, but there was, again, a lot of disagreement and scientists getting involved, trying to explain why some people heard this and why some heard that and what was actually the right word that you, I guess, should hear. We even had a situation around the dinner table last night. My dad was talking to me, and he said the word internet, and I heard internet. And Gabe heard intercom. We've not yet got scientists around to determine what was actually said and why some heard one thing and some heard another. I think my children have this problem from time to time of not hearing exactly what was said. But you begin to perhaps understand the idea. Things are not always what they appear to be. There are times more intense examination and investigation are needed to conclude what actually is contrasted with what appears to be. Would you join me this morning in Acts chapter 8? And when you find Acts chapter number 8, we're going to read a lengthier portion of Scripture today, but it is all one account that goes together that will help us with where God is taking us today. Acts chapter number 8, we're going to begin in verse 9 and read all the way down through verse 25. Notice what the Bible says, beginning in Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, that is the city of Samaria, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I'd like to ask you a question as we look to God's word today, and it's simply this: is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? The reality is that things are not always as they appear to be, and you can fool even yourself. Things are not always as they appear to be, and at times we need to do more thorough examination and investigation to determine what actually is. Answering this question, is your heart right with God, means examining my heart under the scope of God's word so that he can show me if my heart is not right with him. And so the simple question that we should each ask and answer is, my heart right with God? Would you pray with me as we look to God's word? Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for how you use the word of God to speak to our hearts, bringing challenge and conviction. Thank you that we have the freedom to look to it today. Not only to look to it, but to respond to it. And I pray that as you do a work in our hearts, that you would strengthen us to bring our lives and our hearts under the scope of your word. We would be perhaps more thorough than we typically are to examine and investigate, to be sure. To make a change if needed, to be sure that our hearts are right with you. we'll be sure to give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, coming into this, you may remember the context as the Jewish believers from Jerusalem were scattered because of persecution, and they now travel throughout Judea and Samaria preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Samaritans are now being invited and ushered into the family of God. Before this time, only Jewish people had been saved. But now Samaritans are being brought into the family of God through salvation that is found in Jesus Christ alone. But before Philip the Evangelist arrived and preached in Samaria, another man had the attention of the people of this city. Simon was a magician demonstrating and operating with demonic power to seduce the people. From every class they came, astonished at the works that he did and that he proclaimed, and they proclaimed with him that he was a conduit of the power of God. I'm not sure we can quite grasp the influence that Simon would have had in Samaria, the riches and the wealth that he would have accumulated because of his operating in demonic power. The Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that they all of that city gave heed to him, from the greatest down to the least. They paid attention to Simon and the work that he was doing. And whether they worshipped him as a deity or not, they certainly gave to him and ascribed to him the power of deity. But then Philip came. And Philip came in not preaching himself, but preaching Jesus Christ, the kingdom and the Messiah of God. The contrast between Philip and Simon could not be more obvious. Simon operated in demonic power, Philip by divine power. Simon boasted himself to be something and received glory. Philip preached and deflected all glory to Jesus Christ. The people were astounded by Simon's magic, but they were converted by Philip's preaching and ministry. I mean, there was great contrast between these men. We continue reading in Acts chapter number 8, and we find that eventually Simon himself believed and was baptized and even continued with Philip. He followed Philip around, witnessing the work that Philip was doing, witnessing the ministry that he was involved with, learning, or so it would seem, from Philip. You think about it, up to this point in Acts chapter number 8, and it seems like one of the greatest conversion stories and accounts in all of the Word of God. Or is it? Things aren't always what they appear to be. When the apostles from Jerusalem heard of what was going on in Samaria, they determined to send Peter and John to Samaria to investigate. This was unusual. This was transformational. This was revolutionary, that the gospel was being spread among the Samaritans. And so they came to investigate. And Peter and John certified that these Samaritans had indeed believed in the name of Jesus Christ, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Now we need to understand, because this is a key concept both in Christian doctrine as well as in this particular context. Let me deal with, for just a moment, with the matter of Christian doctrine. We believe that the Holy Spirit is given to an individual immediately at the moment of salvation. In other words, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, immediately the Bible word is baptized. You are baptized with the Holy Spirit of God, indwelt by His Holy Spirit. He comes to live within you, never to leave you. He is that seal of the inheritance, the earnest of the inheritance that comes to seal you unto the day of redemption. You have as much of the Holy Spirit now as you will ever have. But why here is it different. This passage indicates in Acts chapter 8 a delay in which the apostles did the work of imparting the Spirit. Two things that you need to keep in mind. Number one, it's important to remember that the book of Acts is a transitional book where God is transitioning, in essence, working through the Israelites and through the nation of Israel as he did in the Old Testament, to now working in and through his people, the church, and the work continuing of Jesus Christ in this world. But the other thing you need to keep in mind is this. Why did it happen this way here? Now, while the scripture does not immediately or specifically speak to it or answer that question, we can almost certainly assume that it was God's purpose to unify the church as one. The Samaritans had not received the gospel before this. As we saw last Sunday, the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies at division with one another historically and culturally for centuries. Why were the apostles sent to investigate the Samaritans receiving the gospel? Why later on is there a church conference listed and spoken about in the book of Acts discussing the Gentiles receiving the gospel? Because this was new. This was revolutionary. God did not want schism or division in his church from the very beginning, just by the way, like God does not want schism or division within his church now. And so God was making a very evident statement and demonstration of his church being one in Jesus Christ. And this was God's form of confirmation of that truth. But now let's see why it matters here within this immediate context. Think of Simon for a moment. Simon had operated in demonic power before Philip arrived. He had been used of Satan to deceive the people of the city of Samaria. He had done great works, and through those great works, he had gathered a fellowship unto himself. He had used this to exert influence, to accumulate wealth. Now he was following Philip around, witnessing as Philip worked through divine power to work miracles. Simon had been witnessing this both before and after his professed conversion. But when Peter and John showed up in Samaria and they certified that these had in fact received the gospel of Jesus Christ, laid their hands on them and imparted the Holy Spirit to them, this sign, this power attracted Simon. Wow. That's not something I've seen before. Here's a new trick of my trade. It attracted his attention so much that he came to Peter and John and said, "Hey, I've got a deal for you. You give me that power that you have and I'll give you money. How much do you want?" By the way, the term simony, which refers to the purchase of items considered religious or sacred, such as ecclesiastical office, comes from this account in the Word of God. And it was to this request of Simon that Peter responded so sharply. Did you catch Peter's words in verses 20 through 23? I mean, Peter sharply rebuked Simon for this request. As you read through what Peter shared, it's a progression and culmination that leads us to question whether or not Simon's conversion was true or false, whether his was just a profession of salvation or genuine possession of salvation. Follow the progression of the rebuke with me in the text for a few moments. In verse number 20, we see, for example, that Peter rebuked Simon for his wrong thinking. The Bible says in verse 20, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee." Note that word perish. This is the word usually used with the meaning of eternal destruction, such as we find in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Usually we find this word used in the sense of eternal destruction. The wrong thinking was that Simon thought he could purchase God's gift with money. Peter said that the thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You might want to mark it down that in every place in the New Testament that this word gift is used, it is used and connected with either salvation or the Holy Spirit. Salvation or the Holy Spirit. These two thoughts, salvation and the Holy Spirit, are inseparable from the grace of God. So essentially what Peter did was he rebuked Simon because of his misunderstanding and misapplication of the grace of God. Notice what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Notice the connection over and over again in that passage of the gift with grace. The gift with grace. What was Simon's wrong thinking? He misunderstood and misapplied the grace of God, believing that he could purchase God's gift with money. Our girls are at the point in their lives where they're bringing their Bibles to church service by service. And there are several times during the week that if you were to come into our home, you would find Evelyn sitting on a couch or sitting in a chair, and she would be reading the Bible. Now, no, she's not a prodigy. She's not really reading. She's sitting there with a Bible and just flipping through page by page. And if you ask her what she's doing, she says she's reading the Bible. Well, a few days ago, earlier this week, Brooklyn sat next to Evelyn while Evelyn was reading the Bible. And I suppose that Brooklyn assumed or thought that she was the preacher or the teacher or something. Because at one point during the conversation, Brooklyn leaned over to Evelyn and said something to this effect: "God's word is truth. You have to listen to God, or God will kill you." I am not exaggerating. That is what my four-year-old said. I'm not quite sure she gets the idea of grace just yet. Now, I'll be quick to follow that up with saying this: that our response to God's word very realistically is a matter of life and death. But aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Simon misunderstood it, misapplied it, thinking he could buy God's gift with money. In verse 21, though, then, Peter connected Simon's wrong thinking with a wrong heart. He said straightly to Simon, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God." And because his heart was not right, Peter said to Simon that you have no part nor lot in this matter. That simply means you are not a participator or a sharer in the matter of at hand. Now, exactly what Peter was referring to is a matter of debate. Some say he was simply referring to the power of communicating the Holy Ghost, while others would say, no, Peter was talking about you have no part in the gospel. In either case, Simon had a serious issue that needed to be dealt with. The root of Simon's heart problem was depicted by Peter in two different ways in the next verse, in verse number 23, two verses down, where he said this, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." What was Simon's heart problem? What made his heart not right in the sight of God? The gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. The gall denotes the bitter, yellowish fluid that is secreted by the liver. But the picture that is found in God's word when we speak of gall, sometimes we see bitterness and see them connected. Sometimes we see gall connected with wormwood, which also speaks of bitterness. But when we find these, the pictures employed by God's word to describe the character and the results of bitterness. Bitterness is depicted as a poison that not only causes sickness in the one carrying it, but causes sickness to those who come in contact with it. Hebrews 12:15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." What was Simon's bitterness a result of, perhaps? He was bitter that the attention and the gain that he had enjoyed was now directed to Jesus Christ. And he was bitter about that. But he also contained the bond of iniquity. This phrase is an allusion to Isaiah 58 and verse number 6, where the phrase "bands of wickedness" is used. Sin is portrayed as a captor that enslaves and imprisons those who are held by it. Sin enslaves. Sin brings bondage. These two phrases put together portray Simon as being poisoned and being chained by sin. Now, what was the solution for Simon? Verse 22, where Peter says, "Repent of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." The solution for Simon was repentance that would invite God's forgiveness. Now, the simple question that we are confronted with by this text is this question: is your heart right with God? Is your heart right with God? Things are not always as they appear to be. And the reality is, it can be challenging to know and judge your own heart. We learn from the Bible that the heart is deceitful and wicked. Apart from God's word and his truth, we cannot and will not truly know ourselves. It is absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being that we examine our hearts under the scope of God's word to ascertain whether or not our hearts are right before God. The prayer of David recorded in Psalm 139, 23, and 24 is a good prayer for each of us today, as well as a good prayer to repeat many times in our lives. There the Bible says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Can I ask today, would you be willing to pray that about your own thinking? Misunderstanding and misapplication of the grace of God, such as is demonstrated by Simon in Acts chapter 8, is a dangerous slope and can take both the lost and the saved person down a dangerous road. Do you have an understanding and a true application of God's grace? You may be here today and never have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because you don't truly understand the grace of God. You think that you need to do something to attain God's favor. You think that you can give an amount of money. Anything that you think I can do to earn God's favor, you don't understand God's grace. But believer, we too can misunderstand and misapply God's grace. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 6 when he asked the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You think that you can sin and sin and sin as a believer and all that you'll receive from God in essence is God's grace? There won't be any consequence for sin. There won't be any result of your wrong choices in your life. You don't understand God's grace. God's grace is not a license to sin. But friends, on the opposite extreme in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, you think that you need to live out the law to earn God's favor and that that's how you please God? You don't understand God's grace. What about your thinking today? Would you pray this for your own heart? God, search my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Likely there are some hearing the message that are infected with the poison of bitterness. Through an offense that's been received in the past, through a perceived failure on the part of someone you trusted, or perhaps even God himself, through a disappointment, through a circumstance that you consider unfair, whatever it may be, you've been hurt, you've been angered, and it is infected and spread through your life like a poison. The bitterness is bringing damage to you and those around you. And just as likely, there are some hearing the message that are imprisoned. You're chained to sin that you've struggled to break free from. It may be an addiction. It may be an explosive temper and anger. It may be conversation that does not honor Christ and edify, such as gossip or unkindness. Perhaps it's unthankfulness, unfaithfulness to Christ, or if not any of these, the sin that the Holy Spirit of God has put his finger on even before I started preaching today. And maybe, just maybe, your wrong thinking and your wrong heart is the evidence of a heart that has never had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. I don't know today. All I can do is simply ask you the question, is your heart right with God? You say, well, Pastor, as I look at myself, I'm fine. As I look in a mirror, I look okay. Things are not always as they appear to be. And sometimes more thorough investigation and examination is needed. Maybe today everything appears fine on the outside, and maybe even as far as you know, everything seems fine on the inside. But as you bring your heart under more thorough examination and investigation with the Word of God, maybe God has spoken to your heart today. Is your heart right with God? Would you be willing to pray today and say, God, search me. Try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Or maybe God's already put his finger on it. God's already spoken to your heart about it. And you need to respond. What is the response that you should have? The same response that Peter told Simon about. Repentance that invites God's forgiveness into your life. Repenting, agreeing with God about the sin, turning from the sin, and following after him. And if you will do that, what is God's promise? I'll forgive you and I'll cleanse you. Is your heart right with God? If the answer is no, what is your need and what will your response be today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? No one looking around. Is your heart right with God? In just a moment, I am going to extend an invitation to all of us. And if God has spoken to your heart today, will you respond in obedience? Is your heart right with God? Maybe your need today is a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ. You can respond to that need in this invitation. Maybe as you've heard the preaching of God's word today, God has spoken to your heart about your need for Christ. The reality is, I cannot dogmatically say whether or not Simon was saved. I cannot dogmatically say if you are saved. But you know, and God knows. And if God is speaking to your heart about your need of salvation, won't you respond to him and trust him as Savior today? Maybe you're a believer, you're a child of God who may need to get some things right with God. You can respond to that need. Come and repent and ask for God's forgiveness and he'll give it. Or maybe it simply needs to be examination, investigation. Praying that prayer, search me, O God, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. God is working in your heart when the invitation's given. Would you come? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. It is convicting and challenging at times, and we are thankful for that. Lord, today we may, even in our own lives, think that everything is fine. But maybe you've touched on something today that's not fine, that we need to respond to. Lord, I pray that if that is true, that we'll respond. If there's someone here today who has never had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, they've never believed on Jesus for salvation from their sin, pray that you'd work in their hearts about that need right now. And we'll praise and thank you in Jesus' name. With heads bowed.